and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay. Amen.
Aren't you glad you are a vessel of honor tonight? Because He keeps working with us. If He began a good work in you, you can rest assured you're going to be a finished product. Look at somebody, shake their hand, tell them you're shaking hands of a finished product. I don't hear much talking going on. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of it, guys, if you will. Thank you, Lord. Love you, buddy. God's going to get us out of here. Vessel of honor. Vessel of honor. I am today. Love you, buddy. And it's all because Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests. We've got quite a few, so I'll let you be seated while we look at these tonight. Sister Linda Chris is asking us to remember her in prayer. She's on her way to the emergency room for a possible urinary tract infection, so they're asking that we would pray on her behalf tonight. I want to pray for Courtney Babb. She is having emergency surgery tonight, so we just pray for little Courtney, that the Lord would just be mindful of her and be with her. Sister Gwen Farmer sends this in. She's going to be having surgery on Monday, July the 29th. They're either going to be ballooning her arteries out or bypass for stent or stents. I pray my Lord shows the doctor what to do and guide his hand. So they're asking that we would remember her in our prayers tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful. Sister Vella Baines called and requests prayer for Brother Gene Littleton. He has been admitted to the hospital for blood clots in his lungs. So they're asking that we would pray for Brother Gene. Brother Samuel Shuffler got some needs tonight he wants this assembly to pray about. A job is one of them, the seeking the will of the Lord, and just everyday trials that we all are a part of. He wants victory over those things, and we do too, don't we? So we just commit these things unto the Lord. Sister Gail Clark requests that we pray for her quick recovery, so we certainly want to continue to remember her. We want to pray for Sister Laura Krauss. She isn't feeling well, couldn't make it to the service tonight, so let's pray for her. We want to continue to pray for Brother Tracy Brizendine. He had to be readmitted to the hospital. He had to have a blood transfusion and also is in much pain. So we want to remember Brother Tracy in prayer, that the Lord would just help our brother. I know his desire is to be in the house of God, so let's just pray on his behalf tonight. Sister Lisa Vaughn sends us in for Brother Andrew Cobb. He had emergency gallbladder surgery this morning, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Andrew. This is a wonderful testimony right here. Sister Colette Babb called to thank everyone for praying for her granddaughter, who is named Allie. She was diagnosed with a nerve disease that could have kept her in a wheelchair for up to 9 months. But prayer was made, and after 2 weeks, she is up, running, and playing. And she wants to praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Louise McKinney sends this in to please pray for my brother, Ted Boer, who is being admitted to Mayo Clinic for tests due to a mass in his stomach. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Please remember Sister Allison prayer. She is still recovering. Brother Terry wants us to remember her tonight. Also, Sister Sherry Wiggins offers this testimony. I want to give thanks to the Lord for touching the baby girl that my niece is carrying. On Wednesday night, I turned in a prayer request for prayer. An ultrasound had shown a spot in the baby's brain. Thursday's more in-depth scan showed absolutely nothing. The whole family is very grateful to God for His healing touch and to God's people for your prayers. God bless you. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Brother Isaac Short sends this in to pray for his father. He has a foot condition, and they're asking that we would remember him in prayer. And let's just commit that to the Lord. Also, Brother Robert Marrero, his former pastor, needs prayer. They've called and asked that we would remember him in prayer tonight as he has needs in his body. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe we're serving a prayer answering God? Do you believe that with all your heart? Do you really believe that with all your heart? Give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight. Let's stand if you will. Amen. We're just going to sing that chorus together once again. He didn't throw the clay away, but he keeps working on us. I appreciate the Lord for doing that, don't you? Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay. Charlie, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's join with our brother as he prays tonight. We love Brother Charlie Torres around here, don't we? Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
You know, when you face the things that are going on in the world, and you come back to church, we're out of the world. Here. Because His presence is here. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, it's just a joy to be in church again, Lord. Away from the things of the world, Father. In fellowship with You, hearing the precious Word of God, Lord. Reminding us that we're Your children, Father, and nothing is impossible with God within us, Lord. We thank You, Father, for the victory You gave us at Calvary, where You made us whole. Where You shed Your precious blood for us, Lord. And Lord, You know the needs that have been requested, Father, each and every one of them, Lord. We lean on You, Father, believe in Your word, because Your word says, by Your stripes we were healed, and that goes for every request that was made, Father. We believe it, Lord. Let it all come to pass, Father. For Your glory and honor we ask it, and we believe it, Lord. Bless us with Your precious word now, Lord. Anoint the lips of Your servant and speak to us, Lord. Give us more revelation, more understanding of Your word. Help us, Lord, to be a living witness of You wherever we go, that Your presence will be there. We give You all the honor and glory, Father. In Your precious, wonderful name we ask it, and we thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. God bless you. Appreciate Brother Charlie. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Probably some folks stayed over from the wedding last night. Or you're a visitor, just raise your hand tonight. If you're visiting with us, raise your hand. Hold it up there. God bless you. Let's give our visitors a nice hand tonight. We're glad to have you here in the service. Certainly glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world as they stream the service. Let me make an announcement or so tonight. Sister Joy Shantis wants us to welcome her mother, Catherine, from Ohio. Where is she at? God bless you. Give her a nice hand tonight. And Sarah's brother, Solomon, from Ohio. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Give him a nice hand tonight. Glad to have all these visitors with us. Sister Chloe Cox is here from that's Brother Gary Cox's daughter. They're from Brother Warren's church in Kentucky, and she's going to be giving us a song here just in a few minutes. So we just got a lot going on here tonight. Aren't you glad to be in church? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you too? Hallelujah. I'm so glad He found me, buddy. Let's sing about that tonight. I'm so glad that He found me. Are you glad you have been found? I was among the lost and found, but I'm found. I'm not lost anymore. How about you? Brother Joel, come here and help me sing this song tonight, if you will. Joel Yance, you can help me sing this song. This nagging cough is just, it's nagging me to death. So, Brother Joel, help me. You do the verse for me, if you will, okay? Let's start with the chorus, Brother Harry. Well, I...
I'm so glad He found me. With love He bound me. He put His arms all around me. And He led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of His own. And oh, the joy of knowing, with hearts all glowing, someday I'm going up to my home, my home in glory. Walk on streets paved with gold.
I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain.
Oh yes, we were.
When I heard my Savior speak to me,
hallelujah,
He said, come to me relenting,
thank you, John,
of your sins repenting, and I will lead you out,
thank you,
where
Lord,
you can see. Shelter.
Hallelujah.
And now I'm one of His own. And
the joy of knowing,
with hearts all aglowing, someday I'm going to my home.
Dearest friend I ever knew.
When I see Him yonder,
hallelujah,
my love will still grow fonder in that happy home beyond the blue.
Oh, let's sing it now, church.
How long did it take you to get untangled back there, Brother Chuck? Get untangled right quick. He got wires in his ears and on his feet and everywhere else. Get away from them things. I want you guys to do that song for us again that you done last Saturday night. Through the fire. You're going through the fire with things in your life, but you've got a great fire extinguisher on your side. The Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's help these guys as they sing this through the fire. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Sister Sarah Yance has got a song. If she'll come onto the platform, Sister Chloe Cox, if you'll come onto the platform, we'll have our specials and we'll go right on into the service tonight. Give these guys a hand as they get ready to sing.
Well, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Show up and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish. If I trust the hand of God, he'll seal the flames again, again. Never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
So just hold.
And he will take you through the fire again.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord, as I seek to serve you, may you find in me what's pleasing to your heart. I leave my will at Calvary, taking on a nature humbled by your scars. For I know it's only through your love that who I am is hidden by your grace. The Let my desires be overshadowed as I recall the purpose of that place. Hide me behind the cross, where my name becomes as lost, and only your glory is in view. Your power will be revealed the more that I am concealed. Hide me behind your cross, so the world sees only you. If I rely on my strength to be a source of hope for those in need, the only profit I would gain would be the empty honor of my deeds. But with all of self behind your cross, the splendor of your love stands free to shine. Illuminated with your power, reaching souls, so you alone are glorified. So hide me behind the cross, where my gains become as lost, and only your glory.
into this heart, come into this place, fill me with your saving grace, and I cry to you, and I lift my voice, and I raise my hands in worship, because I was your choice. So come into this heart and come into this place. Fill me with your saving grace. And I cry to you and I lift my voice and I raise my hands in worship because I was your choice. So come into this heart and come into this place. Fill me with your saving grace. And I cry to you and I lift my voice and I raise my hands in worship because I was your choice.
Certainly appreciate our specials tonight. Let's stand, if you will, at this time. It's time to go on into the service tonight. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Remember, there will be no services here this coming Wednesday night. We'll be working on the sound system to some degree. So remember, no service here Wednesday night. So remember that. But we got church here tonight. We got church here, the Lord willing, in the morning. So we're going to have a good time tonight and in the morning, the Lord willing.
Amen.
Shake somebody's hand one more time. Say, God bless you. Let the worshipers arise, Brother Harry, as Brother Amos gets ready to come and bring you the word of the Lord tonight.
Father, I see that you are drawing line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea, let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering. Surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder. It What's the song of your redeemed? As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, Lord. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers His sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the
God. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, saints, you know, the scripture says it's a fearful thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of an angry God. But I say it's a pleasant thing for a believer, a son of God, to fall in the arms of God. It's a happy thing. You don't have anything to lose. You got everything to gain. Nothing to lose, but everything to gain by completely surrendering to Him. I tell you, He don't pull a snake out of a bag. He doesn't pull a scorpion out of a bag. He's got good things in store. We could just turn it around and put the blame on the devil. That's where the snake come from. That's where the scorpion come from. Amen. That's where the sickness, that's where the sin come from. It come from the devil. But when you let yourself fall into His hands and His arms, you're in good hands with Jesus Christ. I don't know about all states. Sorry, might be your favorite insurance company, but I'm in good hands in Jesus Christ. My lover, my heavenly groom, my bridegroom. Amen. Boy, it's wonderful, Brother Gene, to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I took His name in baptism. I'm taking Him in His name. Every day of my life, I'm obeying. Hallelujah. And sweeter gets the journey every day. And the devil gets madder and madder, but he just can't drive no wedge. He can't come between because I'm hugging Him so much. He's in me. I'm in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. He can't find a place to drive a wedge. There is no crack. We're inseparable. We're fused together. Hallelujah. Amen. May God bless you tonight as we change you over to the service. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother.
Let me take your coat.
Yes, brother. I would appreciate it. If I was in Africa, you know, you'd have to take my coat. I wouldn't be able to leave it on. Fortunately, we were there in the fall and it wasn't so bad. The things I've heard, you know. Not that I'm a stranger to that kind of thing, by the way. But praise the Lord. We want to change the order of the service. We thank the Lord for the songs of Zion. Thank you for all tonight and what you represent in the eyes of God. Oh, isn't it marvelous? Isn't it wonderful? And my song shall ever be, oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is His love towards me. Individually, I mean, not just a church body tonight. You know, we experience the presence of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord collectively. But individually, to have a relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. And He's so big. Yet, amen, He can partialize Himself to each and every one of us. That's tremendous. Amen. I'm not at the end of my road of my love relationship. You know, I've been married, my wife and I, 25 plus years. And I tell the guys at work, I'm not ashamed of it. And the husbands, you shouldn't be either. I've kept you standing up before I read my text. But I tell them guys at work, Brother Louis, I love my wife more than the day I married her. Hallelujah. Boy, I didn't get no amens. Come on, you husbands tonight. Amen. Where are you at in your love relationship? Amen. Brother Rob, God bless you. Amen. We love our wives. Because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 30. And then we're going to be reading out of the Old Testament. We're going to be taking a somewhat of a peculiar thought this evening that struck me several years ago. And I've studied on it, I've looked at it, and there's a lot of different things in it and so forth. But let's go to 1 Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 30, the parable of the mustard seed in faith. Mark's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? And he says, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. It groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. It shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now over in 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. This has always stood out to me. I think this scripture down through time, and as some of us have been around, we've heard it used properly and then we've heard it used improperly. But it's very outstanding, I think, in what it says. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, I used to think that I knew the real depth of that, and I have to say that I'm only discovering it. And we don't never put periods in there. All right? If you're Revelation, you never put a period. Is that right, Brother Swanson? You just say dot 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 means more to come. Amen. All right. So he says, the Lord looketh, seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now listen to verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Praise the Lord.
Arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Lord, I sense your presence. We're so thankful for that, dear God. We're so thankful for the licks of fire that have come here tonight, Lord. And dear God, we just thank you for everyone, Lord. We thank you for the ministers. Many of them are out ministering in other places and minister here at the church, Lord. And many other callings and gifts that is among us, Lord. We're thankful for each and every one. May you help us, Lord, to find our place. We ask it, God, that you would help us, Lord, to, as we talk about your word tonight, and as we, Lord, it may it be as we would on the road to Emmaus, Lord, that you would come and, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding that we could see, Lord, further than what we have and see in such a way that a relationship with you will be even more deepened. Lord, it's not that you become more loving. It's not that you become more greater. Because we are the ones that are discovering how deep the ocean of love really is. We're the ones that are astronauts that are exploring the heavenly bodies in heavenly places. So help us, dear God, whether we go to the deep or whether we go to the height, Lord Jesus of the stars, oh God, Lord, help us to see more plainly, for we long for that day, Lord Jesus, when we'll be in your presence, Lord, and dear God, never to depart, Lord, and in, Lord, we'll look upon you, Father God, with a changed body, Lord, and you'll wipe away all of our tears. God, encourage those that are discouraged this evening, we pray. Lord, lift us up in the heavenly places as we yield to you, Lord. Dear God, teach us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to yield to you. Father God, grant us strength. Close our mouth. Shut our tongue down, Lord, to anything that we would say that would be contrary or things that would hinder, Lord, someone that is weak. We just ask it in Jesus Christ's name. For your honor and glory be with those out there, Lord, who are streaming the service tonight. Lord, the elderly, the weak and feeble, Lord, the sickly, Lord God, as well, those in the fellowship hall. Lord God, we pray your presence might be keenly felt, the spirit of revelation for which we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you go to your seats, I'd like to read a quote tonight, if I could, and if you'll just excuse me. I just want to really be myself. I can't be. Sometimes we use phrases that we hear time and time and time again, and we don't mean to. We just pick up on those things, and we don't mean to sound like an impersonator, but sometimes you hear things over and over, and it kind of grows on you. So if you hear something tonight that sounds like something somebody else, you just forgive me and know that it's not intentional. But tonight we just want to yield to the Lord. I want to read a quote tonight from the book, the Church Age book, the Pergamene Church Age, and it's the 181:1, where Satan's seat is. He says, the reason that this is part of the eulogy of the Spirit is because these brave soldiers of the cross were overcoming Satan right in the midst of his own throne room. They were winning the battle through the name and faith of Jesus right in the camp of the leaders of darkness. Amen. What a tremendous commendation. And he says, like the mighty men, what a tremendous commendation, like the mighty men of David who invaded the camp of the enemy to bring David thirst-quenching water, so these giants of faith invaded the realm of Satan's earthly stronghold and by preaching and exhorting brought the water of salvation to those who lived under the shadow of death. And that's what I wish to title this, because when I read this quote some time ago, giants of faith, something just turned over inside of me. A new door was opened. And I wonder if we would be able to, as the prophet said, since the opening of those seals, this Bible has become a new book. So we look at things differently. Not only do we look at them differently, but we are looking through the eyes and revelation of the Spirit of God, and we're seeing things from service to service, day to day, that we've never seen before. And I think it's amazing because it's unlimitless, the prophet said. It is absolutely unlimitless. The sky's the limit. You know, they say, used to say, but now I say, you'll find that it just goes on and on and on. Amen. Like the mighty men of David who invaded the camp of the enemy to bring David thirst-quenching water, so these giants of faith invaded the realm of Satan's earthly stronghold. Let me say this tonight, that as a soldier of the cross, I don't wear my armor for nothing. It's not just to be worn in church, but we are in a constant warfare. We're in a constant surge of the enemy. And it's not that we've given him any praise, but I say to you that if you're not finding yourself in battle, if you're not finding yourself and realizing that we try as much as we can with our shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we are still being shot at. We're still a target. But thanks be to God, our armor is superior. And it can meet every challenge that the enemy would try to bring against us. Hallelujah. He uses the phrase, giants of faith. Let's just backtrack a little bit as time will allow us. Don't know how far we'll get with this tonight. Well, let's just back up a little bit. We look at the creation, at what we have. And I've seen a lot of things, I've heard a lot of things, I've read a lot of things. That's most of the rest of you. I remember a few years ago we went out west. And I'm an Easterner, a farmer, come from a farming background. I was around cattle most of my life. Been kicked a few times almost. Well, I was actually, in one sense of the word, gored when I tried to take a calf away from its mama. So I've been around cattle a little bit, and I've known, like our brother that was here some time ago, talking about local weed. Although he's got a little bit more experience on them ranches, we didn't ride horses, we just run after them. And we caught them. The longer you let them go, the faster they'll run. So you better get them while you can, while they're small and dumb. But anyway, I grew up around cattle, and you know, I knew what it took. You know, the right combinations of orchard grass, and there's farmers here, Brother Junior Carter, and he's probably up yonder near, up there in Virginia somewhere tonight. But there's probably some others here that I haven't mentioned your name, but you know what it takes. You got orchard grass, you got clover, you got alfalfa. You have to have roughage. And then they feed them corn, and they might feed them some other things, you know. Of course, I don't know too much about these feedlots and so forth like that, but I do remember them steaks tasted mighty good back home when Mom used to prepare them, them big old T-bones. We put your own heifer or steer or whatever, and there was just nothing like it. And, you know, it might be just something in my imagination, but I don't think so. They talk about Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and all of that, and I don't know, I ain't never had one of them, but I'll tell you, the ones that I used to have were pretty good. I guess I'm a little bit biased, so forgive me. But anyway, I knew a little bit about cattle. But when we went out west on a little hunting trip, and we got up there in the Uncompahgre National Forest there, Brother Horn and I and a few of the other brothers from the other church up there, we got up there and I looked around, and my goodness, I was just kind of awestruck, you know, the sparse grass that was growing there. Yet, you know, you're talking about these big muleys walking around there, and you're talking about these big elk, these big antlers, and it kind of pondered for a little bit. Now I thought, what are these animals eating? But I come to realize that I was told that that grass that grows there is just packed full. It's packed full, even though it looks meager, and it may be sparse in them semi-arid locations, yet it packs a big punch. And it's got a lot of vitamins in it. It's got a lot of, if you will, maybe protein. It's got a lot of growing substance that produces healthy, strong bones in these animals as well as their meat and fat. So we realize that there's a lot of things in the creation that we have that God, you know, I think of, you know, the first computer that man ever made. I don't know. I'm just going to guess. I've heard stories, but the first computer, late 40s, early 50s, about the size of this room. To do what some little laptop or even smaller iPad or iPod or iPhone, I don't know. I don't keep up with all that stuff. But now they can take whatever that thing did and it's multiplied billions. I mean, that's not an exaggerated statement the way I understand. It can do all these different things at such a speed and with such small features, and it's compacted. Right. Amen. 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 And so, you know, when you see what it is, they're discovering that God took His creation and He compacted a whole lot down into His creation. Amen. Flower. And I read things about flowers, how the same flower blooming in one country in another hemisphere, plant in another hemisphere. They wanted to see if it was according to the seasons or if it was something genetic. And they found out that they both bloomed at the same time in a different hemisphere under a different season. One didn't call the other one up and say, hey, are you ready to bloom? It's built in. It's built in. So God already knew these things. And there's so much, if you know all these different things we hear about. God prepared. When he did a good job. And really, all the fascinating things. 7 miles beneath the sea, you have these little shrimp-like creatures. This guy just went down to the bottom, found out there was life down there, and the pressure was so great, and his oil hydraulic cylinder started leaking, and he had to get on out of there. Because he figured it was just a matter of time, and his cage, or his little compressed, little fortified submarine that was built to withstand pressure, it was only going to last so long. And if he valued his life, he's going to have to get out of there. But God could put little creatures down there. He put whales down there that can dive real deep. A human try to do that without the proper equipment, you'd burst. You'd have, well, I don't know, all different kinds of things could happen to you. But God has designed things to survive and to go through these things. To me, they're giants. Now, I look at many other things, and we could just go on and on and that, but we want to move on. We have a mentality, and I think that's something that we are changing. I believe that God is coming down, and He's changing our thoughts. He's changing our thought patterns by, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He said, I have overcome the world. So if He overcome the world and He lives in you, then you'll also overcome. Amen. For he that's born of God doth not commit sin. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about the interior there. Not necessarily exterior, but interior. Amen. Giants. Giants of faith. When we've heard this, I've heard some of the sermons come forth here at the church and how it's been astounding how some of the brothers have preached on these things. Brother David, Brother Darrell, and different ones. And they preached on, and Brother John Horniak preached on David and Goliath, an outstanding sermon here some time ago. But you know, there is so much, I wonder if we could see ourselves. Really allow this revelation to take hold. Really allow the Word where we actually begin to think like God. And we begin to look at ourselves through God's eyes. We'll begin to see a changed body. And let's just bring it down closer to home now. I mean, that's all not too far away. It could be just a few steps away right now. But God, if we could just look at the promise, it would just blur everything else out. But I think sometimes we limit our vision to a little peephole somewhere. I come across something interesting here this week. I was reading about years ago the early history of cameras and how they I don't know all the scientifics to it. But how that they discovered that a light coming through a small hole into a very dark area, that under certain conditions and a preparation of a surface, that it would leave a mark, it would leave an imprint of something in it, and it was an image. And so these men made special note of that. And so they begin to experiment, and they brought in different metal, and they had, you know, I can't pronounce all them words that they have, but they had different styles and techniques of making pictures and imprints and or so forth. But there had to be, as we know it now, a piece of paper with a prepared surface. A chemically treated surface that when the image was, it was exposed to it, that light transferred that image to that paper. So it was no longer so much, oh my, what a magnificent, wonderful piece of paper. Amos Kutz, Terry Horn, Brother David Seiler, Brother Rob Weber, oh my, what a wonderful piece of paper. But it's what's printed on there. And that's like the postage stamp. It wasn't so much the paper, it was what was printed on there. So we have God's imprint, hallelujah. When we focus the eye of faith, then the image is allowed to come into our soul and transform us. So the little kitty is looking in the mirror, and he's looking and taking in with his eye the picture of the lion. And that picture of the lion is being transferred back into its heart, let's say, into its mind. And as a believer, we'd say its heart into its soul through the mind and down into the soul. And after a while, it begins to think like that lion. You gotta think like you're healed. Amen. You gotta believe. You gotta think. You gotta accept that. You gotta believe it with your heart, with a mouth. Confession is made to salvation. Amen. When you confess those things, then it becomes part of you. Amen. Don't worry. He's got plenty of power there to transform you. You might be a wreck. Demolished, messed up, fouled up, pulled up. But I can assure you one thing. He will leave his print on you. Amen. And it will be a lasting impression that you'll never get away from. Once it goes to the soul and your soul is transformed and is born from above, you'll never be the same again. Now, giants of faith. I wonder tonight if we would identify ourselves as a giant of faith or a little mustard seed faith. Well, without getting too divisive on that, a mustard seed, I begin to do some reading on that. And of course there's some, you know, there's some disagreement on that, but I can, after reading all the sources I come across, which is not exhaustible, there's a whole lot more could be read and studied out on the mustard seed and why Jesus used it. We find that over there in the Holy Land. I've not been there to see them, but they tell me that there's several different kinds. There's a black mustard, there's a white mustard, there's a, and that a black and white mixed together produces a yellow mustard, they say, I think if I've got that right. And then they've got wild mustard that grows there, and it starts off as a plant. Now, some people say it's a plant, but it grows into a tree, and Jesus seems to infer that, and that's what some people, biologists or people, botanists that study these things, they've kind of reached that conclusion. While the tree is not like a great big oak tree, or like an evergreen tree of the cedars of Lebanon, yet compared to the tiny, tiny seed that it is, a 1.8 millimeter, I think, which was the equivalent in the English measurement, a 16th of an inch in diameter, a mustard seed. Now, according to botanists, it's not exactly the smallest of seeds, because there's actually smaller seeds. But Jesus, using the proverbial on it, recognized that they could identify with that because of the seed and to what it, the final outcome of it was. Amen. That it was such a great, great plant or a great tree or a great herb, as the scriptures say in one place, And it produced so many branches that while when it reached its maturity, usually was in the fall of the year, or I believe that it actually would carry over, and some of them wild mustard trees have grown to 10 to 15 feet tall, considering the size of the seed.
Amen.
Now let's just take an oak or an acorn. The acorn, or a pine, what, a little pine cone, those little chips that's on them cones. There, I think somebody told me every one of them is a seed. Now they're a fairly good size. But when you consider the mustard seed, how small it is, yet it grows to be such a great, it can grow under the right conditions to a fairly great height, which is 10 to 15 feet. You say, oh, well, that ain't very big at all compared to North American trees. Well, it's not. But over there, it's quite impressive.
Amen, right.
And I say, even from here, it's quite impressive. And I can see why Jesus used it to show that something so small has a potential.
Amen.
And it doesn't stay there. But he said it grows up.
Yep.
So we know that the seed pulled the moisture. It pulled nutrients as it was growing. But all the genetics, he didn't have to go to a gene bank, go to other plants and say, give me some of your genes so I can be this, put out branches. It was already in the seed. It's already there. Let's go another step on this. Back 60, 70 years ago, it was one of the Pharaoh's tombs that was opened. All the air in that tomb had gone away. So it was almost a sterile environment to some standards. No germs, nothing in there could even live, no oxygen. They said when they first put their torches in there, the torches went out. Because there was no oxygen there for the fire to burn. So under those conditions, they found these, you know the story, little wheat seeds. And they found these wheat seeds that were stored away for thousands of years. Dormant. Nothing happening. Nothing going on. But under the right conditions, when they were introduced to soil, and they were introduced to moisture, and the right environment, they sprouted. That life, that little germ of life, was down in that seed for thousands of years. And it was preserved. And it come forth. Now, I don't know, it wondered me. It's very, very possible that those seeds are feeding millions times millions of people today. You see, one seed can have the offspring capability virtually unlimited. That's just offspring. Not to mention the nutrients that can be gained from it. Thousands and thousands of years, there were glaciers falling off at the South Pole. There were wars going on across the earth. There were blistering hot summers in the deserts. There were horrible snowstorms and all kinds of tidal waves and earthquakes. Yet those seeds were sleeping to the awakening time. Hallelujah! There is an awakening time. I'm in that awakening time. I'm not just in the awakening time, but I'm in the growing time. Construction zone. Now, I want to look at something here from Deuteronomy 11:25 that helps us. We're going to start to look at ourselves now. We looked at creation and a power of it. We could go on and on for hours. I enjoy listening to that stuff. It just displays to me the magnificence of our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
how great He is, how much He cares about the smallest little thing. At least what we think is small. God thinks it's big. You see, we got it all confused. Even Samuel did. Even Samuel was taken back. And I'll tell you what, when the sons of Jesse come up before him, I don't think that they were, I think they were probably fine looking fellers, as we'd say today. One might have been a rope maker. One might have been the guy that went to the marketplace, and he really knew how to shell the sheep. He knew how to maybe plant the wheat and how to market that wheat to certain markets. Another was good at this, or building, construction. Another one was good at something else, and they were fine looking young men. The very first one, Samuel was so impressed as God had told him to go to the house of Jesse. The very first one, he said, this is the one. That was his flesh. You read the scriptures, it'll show you that. Are you with me tonight? But he immediately, but God said, this isn't the one. Man looketh on the outward appearance. And Samuel was learning one of his greatest lessons that he ever learned. When God told a man, looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Wasn't necessarily that his brothers were a piece of junk, or that they were trash, or that they were ugly or hateful or anything like that. But they were not the one that God had chosen. Because they might have had a punch, but there was another one in there that had the biggest punch, and that's the one that God gave him a big punch. He was the elect seed. Hallelujah. And he was called of God to do the job. So we find that Samuel went up there to God tells him that's not the one. Boy, you can imagine Samuel, a prophet of God. The prophet of God for his hour.
Amen.
So, can you imagine if God told you, no, that's not the one. You probably wouldn't be so hasty with your tongue anymore, would you? You'd say, okay, Lord, sorry I got ahead of you. You're showing me something that I haven't seen before. I think of the prophet Elisha. Oh Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes so that he can see there's more with us than be with them.
Right.
Open our eyes, Lord.
Yes.
That the eyes of our understanding may be open.
Amen.
So Samuel, he humbly walked softly before the Lord. He says, bring the next one. It wasn't him. And the Lord stayed quiet. Samuel sure wasn't going to talk ahead of the Lord. He learned one thing, and I've learned one thing. I'm happy with God's decisions.
Yes.
In the short term, the devil try to lie to you and tell you God's decision, it's going to put you through hell. It's going to put you through torture. But I want you to know you've got everything to gain by obeying God.
Amen.
There was a man here in the scriptures. He said to Saul, he said, when thou wast little in thy sight, the Lord anointed thee to be king. And he said, in other words, he's to us saying, if you'd have stayed that way and kept that attitude, you were head and shoulders above all of Israel. But he said, if you'd have stayed humble before you,
amen,
and the presence of the Lord wouldn't have departed from him.
Yeah.
But when he seen he was head and shoulders, he didn't have to obey God. He could cheat. Save the oxen and so forth. You know the story. Obedience better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
Yeah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care if Saul could have had 100 middle exaggerated, yes. 100 middle million oxen. He could have had granaries to place upon a grain offering or whatever. God would have said, I refuse it. Because that's not what I asked for. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
Faith pleases God.
Amen.
So we realize, you know, Samuel's running out of material here. So he thought, and so would many of us think. Wait a minute. How many we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many's here? Wait a minute. I know I didn't make a mistake coming here, Jesse. Don't you have another one somewhere? Yeah, he said, I got one. He's up there watching sheep. Samuel said, go get him! Some of us said, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. You know, it might not be, might not exactly be the one, you know. It's going to make me look like I'm up, like I made a mistake or something. No, he knew where God was leading him. Samuel knew the voice of the Lord. He knew God led him up there. And God does strange things sometimes. They brought this boy in. Now, I want you to look at something. I don't have the definitions up here, and something down the road maybe we'll look at a little bit another time. But the Bible said he was beautiful, he was ruddy, which according to the interpretations I understand of that, some have come out, the people have said different things. But one thing we do know is that ruddy does mean, it's an old English word meaning red. And some people have painted pictures of David having red hair or like a red complexion, which they seem to say. But he said he had such a look about himself. Maybe it wasn't like he was the most handsome looking fella. It wasn't like he was the most, he just looks like a fine specimen. You know what? Boy, that's the kind of guy we like to have out there at the counter to talk to people and kind of the go-between, the mediator and the businessman, you know. You know, some people are just cut out for that. And I know I ain't. But anyway, but there was something about David and innocence. Amen. Amen. I believe that it was an innocence. Amen. He hadn't been doing, listening to questionable music. He'd not been running around with the neighbor girls and maybe participating in some off-color things. That when they walked in public, they kind of have to hang their head and look down at the ground or look away, but somebody looked them in the face. You know why people do that sometimes today? People are bashful sometimes. We've heard it from the pulpit. They're bashful, but sometimes it's guilt. It's guilt. We need to deal with those things. I really got, one brother gave me an amen. I believe I'm preaching to mature believers tonight that are probably further up the road than I am.
Come on now.
But I tell you, you want the devil to laugh at your prayers? Have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in church. 1 foot in the Word and 1 foot in the world. The devil will laugh at you in your face. Your prayers don't mean a thing. You're hamstrung. You know how I can say those things? I was young once too. I went through some things when I was young. I went through some troubles in my life. And I know where the devil liked to dangle that thing over my head and said, I told you I got you. He thought he had me. But he really didn't have me. Because he redeemed me. Jesus Christ redeemed my life from destruction. And I think of that thing there of a Christmas story. When, you know, I know Brother Branham used fictional fairy tale stuff. I know he did. I've listened to the message long enough to know that. But I think of that, the ghost, oh, it was Ebenezer Scrooge. And he said, what's the future gonna be? Somehow Ebenezer Scrooge was afraid to look. No! He had this gut feeling like, maybe that's got my name on it. Let me tell you something, the devil might try to tell you that that's gonna be your destination out there in that graveyard. A soul that's too far gone for God to help. But I want you to know, help is here. Help is on the way. That's not your destination, Ebenezer Scrooge. You have the option to change things. Now somebody said I didn't like that story. But then you tell me why Brother Ram used the story of the magic flower. How many people in here listen to the message? Why haven't you heard that story?
Crazy,
you said you listening to the message, you read the message. Haven't you heard that story before about the magic flower? There is no such thing, by the way. But Brother Branham told it to portray a proverbial statement.
Yeah.
And he said when the man didn't take the magic flower with him,
right,
he said, you got to take me with you.
Right.
And he didn't. He thought he had all the gold he needed. He left the mountain. The door went shut behind him. And he never could find a door to get in.
Right.
And the flower was in that mountain. Let me tell you something. When you leave God out of your life,
yeah,
you leave God on the shelf. Let me tell you something. He's only obligated one time to talk to you.
Amen.
You'd expect your doctor and your surgeon to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. There are people that once attended this church. I don't know their destination. I hope it's not revealed to me. But if they keep leading the way they're going, they're going to fall that way.
Amen.
That's what the prophet said. That should shake us to the core. That we pray that we make every effort that we can for our loved ones. People at once, not just turn our back on them, but pray for them. Some of them you can't do anything with. You can't talk to them. They get more bitter, more resentful. They get more hateful. They get more, it just pours gas on their fire to talk to them. But you can pray for them. God have mercy on them. We don't want to see anyone lost, because that's an attribute of God. And if you're born of God, it'll be in you to pray for them. You don't want to see anybody lost. So, we find that David here, the Lord said, this is the one. But he was of such character, noble character. Let me just say this. Not one of us here. We may have been raised in a Christian home. We may have been raised in this church. We may have come through some pretty good places. But let me just say this. If you made some mistakes in life, I want you to know there's help. And there's more help than what you could even imagine. I know we don't want to admit these things because we start clamming up, and I'm not trying to go back in the cemetery and dig something up that God forgot about. But I'm here to tell you the Bible is plumb full, and it tells you the truth. And it tells you the consequences of disobedience. Obeying God pays pretty good interest. It pays good interest. That's one bank you want to invest in. Invest in the bank of God. Alright. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 11:25, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and a dread upon you on all the land. You shall tread upon ass, he said unto you. Now we know, according to the Bible, that was a conditional promise. They never did take the land all the way to the river Euphrates because they didn't obey God. Amen. Bottom line, it wasn't that God wasn't there to help them take the land all the way to the river Euphrates. They just failed to obey God on a conditional covenant. But he said nonetheless, and that promise still stands today, for the prophet himself said, I believe that a man can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with him. He's completely baffled. He's got to go into his book, and he's done went through all the books of tricks. But we've been in another book. We've been in another book. And that book exposes every secret that he thought he had. And I can tell you one thing, the Masonic Order, the Odd Fellows, they're probably good people in them lodges, but they talk about mysteries and all these things. They don't know what mysteries are. Something that somebody made up, and 2 + 2 or whatever. But you want to know, here's a mystery of God, and it's been revealed to the elect. Hallelujah. That's not just them. I'm not just singling them out. I had several uncles that was in the lodge and so forth. They tried to get me to join one time. And fine people, some of them anyway. Some of them were not so fine. But it's just something that the devil tries to steer people on. And in the end, you come up with zero. Bottom line is zero. Outside of Christ, it's zero.
Amen.
Satan only knows subtraction. And your faith can either be faith or unbelief. It can either be addition or it can be subtraction. Whichever road you chose to follow. I realize tonight, praise the Lord, God is good, isn't He? You know, Saul had everything to gain. In spite of the fact he disobeyed God, the throne was wrested from him and it was destined for David. But he had everything to gain. Somehow or another, I can't explain everything. But I know enough about God and His Word that if Saul had to humble himself and say, David, the hand of the Lord is upon you, you're going to be the next king, and I'm going to hand you my throne right now. You want to know something? I believe that God would have done some great things right there for Saul. If he'd had a true spirit of repentance. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like a minister today, if he's not qualified, if he'll just humble himself and step down, God actually might turn things around and he'd be such a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. Well, you know what Saul did? Instead of recognizing the devil, the Satan, the demons of darkness, once it was the one that was tormenting him, he started to hate David. Boy, you talk about a complex. Jealousy. That's right. And look where it led him. Look at the horrible mess that he got himself into. But had he just recognized that David was a little giant. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to bring this down to a close. But the Bible says that in 1 Samuel 18:12, that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. That's nothing to be afraid of. That's the best thing in the world. Amen. If God's blessing somebody else greater than yourself in song ministry, that don't mean that God's caned you and stuck you away in the cellar somewhere in the attic. Amen. God's just chosen for somebody else to carry the ball. Let's get behind them and help them carry the ball. What do you say? So Saul hadn't come to his maturity level and he was having all kinds of problems. I guess it's this thing's falling off because I'm perspiring here. It's getting wet. But anyway, Saul was having these complexes and all this. And my goodness, David went up there and played his harp. And then Saul, in a fit of rage, he just flip-flopped. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or whatever they call it. Picks up that jealous. I hate him. Throws it so fast. And had not the Spirit of the Lord been on David, he'd have probably pinned him to the wall. And so will the devil pin you to the wall.
Right.
If you're not called of God to handle that word, if you're not called of God to do something, you might be a called individual, but you just remember, there might be a lion laying in the road out there somewhere. And if God, like the other night, my dog, I was walking my dog up the street, and she kept staring in that one direction. I wasn't going in that direction, but she kept staring on that leash, and her ears was up like that, and she's just looking like that. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I looked up that street, after she did what she did, and I didn't see a thing. But apparently she seen something, but she turned pale, and that pale dropped like somebody was coming after her with a big stick. I looked up that street, I didn't see nobody. You know, God spoke to a dog one time. Remember the story? How many's been listening to tapes? Raise your hand, you've been listening to tapes. Now, you ain't been listening to tapes. Or CDs or MP3s, I'm not saying it right, listen to it off the computer. But you remember the story of the dog that rose up in the doorway and went to the side of the woman who was being faced by some demon-possessed person who was anointed of the devil? She'd been in a prayer meeting. She'd come out of a prayer meeting. She had angels all around her and she called on the name of the Lord. That big dog rose up, went to her side. Sometimes God will talk to us in strange ways. Oh, I don't try to make nothing out of that, but I took the advice of the dog. I think if that dog's scared to go that way, I sure don't want to go that way because they can see better, they can hear better than I can. They're watching. They're watching for my soul. They're watching for my presence. They're watching for my safety. So is a shepherd watching for my safety. And he might hit something in the assembly. He might hit something in the church, but it's for a reason. It's for your safety. To keep you in the safety zone. David didn't get advantages and try to take advantage of Saul. Oh, this is a good time to get Saul, that jealous guy. I'm going to fix it. Bible says David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. You know why? God was preparing a man of character that was going to meet a Goliath.
Amen.
And the more David behaved himself wisely, the more Saul sadly become more afraid of him. Saul had more to be afraid of than David. David was as harmless as a flea on a dog's back. Might have irritated him just because God was blessing him. Just because God was doing something for him. Let's rejoice. When one rejoices, we should all rejoice. When one weeps, we should all weep with him. Isn't that what it says? David, he goes before Goliath, knowing where he stood. The prophet said, I don't have time to read it tonight, but the prophet said that David had a hidden life. He had a hidden power. If you're listening to tapes now, this should sound familiar to you. A few amens tonight. Am I in the right message, church? Are we still listening to the prophet's voice? Have we turned our houses into tape houses? Have we turned our cars, like Brother Kissendetter said a few years ago? He said, have we turned our houses into tape houses? Have we turned our cars into tape cars? Or are we listening to something else? So when the preacher preaches, we just sit there like bumps on a pickle, like we don't know what he's talking about, what you've been listening to. Boy, I don't know why that's really coming out tonight, but my goodness. And so we find that David, he'd already been through some battles, but he never said a word. We don't have no record. Before he went to Saul, we have no record in the scripture, even his brothers. Because I believe his brothers would not have been so hasty with their words when he took them vittles down there to the army. They would have never been so hasty with their words if they'd have really known what David had already been through. David just didn't talk about it. Because it was special. He didn't cast his pearls before swine. But he kept them things and he pondered over them things and he built his fellowship and he wrote psalms and sang psalms. So when the lion come in, and I tell you, here's the thing, we're out of time. But the lion came in. Brother David and I had the privilege of visiting Brother Brian Jones and his animal rehab over there. And seeing lions really up close, I didn't want to try to pet them. But I've seen how they were so affectionate. You know, Brian Jones, you know, brother, he was careful. I watched him the whole time. He never stuck his hand through the chain link fence. But he stuck his hand up against the fence and the big tongues come out and oh my, Brian, our rescuer, and they were cubs when he got a hold of them and he took care of them and he raised them. Now they're great big male lions and they're just, you know, just like a big old cat, house cat. It carried on and he was careful. He didn't stick his fingers in there. But anyway, a lion's, you know, everything that I've seen, what we've heard over the years, it's almost like they know no fear. They're fearless. I'm just going to end with this thought. There's a whole lot more we could go to on this thought, but I'm just going to have to stop and leave it for another time. But here was this lion. The Bible says that he come in there. He didn't pay no attention to that shepherd. He just rushed on in there and grabbed one of them lambs. And the Bible said that David, he was a watchful shepherd. He seen what happened. He didn't question. It was his father's sheep. David was a son of Jesse. Amen. A true shepherd of God. Amen. Is a son of God. And he watches the sheep. Amen. And he's fearless. Right. And he's seen that bear. First it was a bear. Brother Rabbit said it was a grizzly. Now, I know about a lion, but I tell you, a bear. 11, 12 feet tall. Whew, how's the weather up there, bear? Oh, you wouldn't talk like that to him. You'd want to... When you see him, you're out of there. You better get out of there. You better have a heavy magnum with you or something, or he's gonna hunt you down. Oh, that ain't no joke. These guys that got... Go out there with a bow and arrow to take a grizzly. I ain't got more courage than I've got. That bear come in there. Brother Bram said it was a grizzly. He went running up to the bear and punched that bear. And that bear said, "What do you mean?" You know what? It didn't faze David one bit. Brother Bram said David didn't have to pray up. He was prayed up from the foundation of the world. Not that we shouldn't stay prayed up, but I tell you, God, David had an experience. He was just finished writing maybe the 33rd Psalm or whatever. Glory to God, the Lord is my shepherd, 2023. And I'd anointed him, I told him. He hightailed it just as fast as me. He was moving. Now without God in his heart, that was a heart stopper. And then that bear said, "What do you mean you're going to stop me? I want my lunch." He picked the wrong day and the wrong flock. Because that day, he might have become lunch for somebody else. The bear did. Because he was laying on the ground when David walked away. David didn't walk around there. He always said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, who delivers me from all my enemies. Bless the Lord who protects me in the time of danger. Bless the Lord who gives me strength to rescue my lamb." And then God sent another test. And it was a fearsome lion. And a bear and a lion. Again, David says himself in the scriptures that he smote the lion. But the lion said, "Wait a minute, David. Wait a minute, shepherd boy. I don't fear you. You're just a little stripling lad. A little teenage boy. I ain't afraid of you." The Bible says David said he rose up against me and said, "Wait a minute, you're taking my dinner." "Oh yeah? Come here, give me your beard. I'll teach you a lesson you'll never forget." And he waylaid him. He waylaid the lion. He done it under the Spirit of God. "My help comes from the Lord." Let me tell you something. The prophet said there was more inside that sheepskin than what Goliath realized. And I tell you, it's one thing. I've said this. This is... You get in trouble when you say your own thoughts sometimes, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Goliath was a man. And you can make some predictions on a man, what he's going to do. But a bear and a lion, you try to figure them out. You don't know what angle they're going to choose to attack. They could rip their paw up like that and disembowel you just like that. They could bite your head off. They don't care where their jaws go either. "Ouch, that hurts." They don't care. They're going to get you. They're fearless. But there was somebody that was more fearless than they. God was in there. God was in David. But when he come up before Goliath, not that he had his chest stuck out, but he knew right away. He knew he had a covenant with God. And I ask you tonight, who was a real giant? You tell me. When God looked down there, he seen a guy that had a head like a wash tub. He seen there with a long spear. Seen a 14-inch finger or whatever it was from the palm of his hand. Great big arms and legs. You tell me, when God looked at the situation, who do you think God saw as a giant?
David.
Just like I said earlier about that computer that filled this room. Why, we'd laugh at something so obsolete like that. It's an antique. He'd say, "Take that thing to the dump." And here we have a little computer that almost fit in the palm of your hand doing the very same thing. And more, million times more. And I say to you tonight, God has compacted and fitly joined together a body that's functioning healthily upon the earth. Let's just stand tonight. I say to you, when God looked down from heaven and he seen Samson down there, faced with all those Philistines, I say to you, who do you think God thought was the giant? Who do you think that God thought was on the winning side? Who do you think that God was investing in and wasn't afraid that he was going to lose him? He saw the majority down there because he's seen himself. And I say to you, you and God, as the prophet said, are the majority. You're the giant of faith. I could actually take you to quotes tonight to substantiate where the prophet said that we are giants. When he went up there and he said, boo, the devil got smaller and he got bigger. And the prophet said, after a while, I looked like a giant. The Word made flesh. Word made flesh. The devil hates it. Amen. That's as far as we can go tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just barely scratch the surface here tonight, in talking of giants of faith. Oh God, a man you said that was so surrendered that if that a demon and a man would be 4 or 5 pounds, what about a man who so surrendered himself in the presence of the Lord? Oh God, what could you do and what do you want to do? I've had to remind myself in every situation I've encountered in life to allow you to move. Don't jump ahead of God. Let God move and wait. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid, for we know that David, he didn't run from the challenge, but the Bible says when Goliath took those steps, defied the armies of the living God, we read in the Bible that David hasted. He hasted to meet the giant. He didn't have no secret sin that would be around him like a ball in a chain. He had no anchor dragging after him. He had no guilt. He had a life that was clean. Amen. Oh God, the cleansing stream I see, I plunge in. Oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord. It cleanseth me. Oh God, when we realize when a son is born of God, the very life, the very overcomer is now transferred from our blessed Savior to the believer. He's birthed from above and he carries the divine nature. And as that divine nature overcoming a body of flesh, so will we and we shall overcome. Dear God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We don't have the spirit of getting knocked down and staying down, but we get back up again. We have a spirit of the resurrection of getting up, not staying in the grave. God, we thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, we can be giants of faith in this ungodly, devil-possessed, undisbelieving, unbelieving world. When the devil has so much subject matter on the left and on the right, it's not but Philistines, but yet David's men fought through those miles of Philistine flesh to get him a drink of water. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, help us to have that perseverance. And Lord, when we have that stamina of the Holy Ghost inside of us, there ain't enough of wet blankets and hell to out in our fires. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for faith tonight. Thank you, Lord, who are giants of faith, nothing in ourselves that we should boast, but our hope is in the Lord. Our hope and stay is in God. To you can we commit ourselves this evening. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. Giants of faith. Are you a giant of faith? I don't care if you got cancer. We got a brother here tonight. I don't know if he's in the building tonight. Brother Davis. We all of us been prayed for him, and God's delivering our brother. He's not the only one. It's just Mel, one of many. One of many. We should be rejoicing and praising God. And then if our prayers aren't answered for someone else, God just chosen to take them on. That shouldn't discourage us. It shouldn't make us unsympathetic either towards the family. But yet God knows what he's doing. Brother Bram said, if I prayed for the sick and every one of 100 of them died, after I prayed for them, the next day I'd be back praying for the sick again. Why? Because he believed it. He believed God's word. Amen. I just keep going and going. Amen. Why don't we sing a song tonight, Brother Harry? You love the Lord? That's good.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like roaring lion, he's roaming to and fro, seeking who he may find. The Bible tells us so.
Oh, yeah.
Many souls have been his prey.
Oh, yeah.
To fall in some weak,
yes,
hour. But God has promised us today.
Oh, yeah.
His overcoming power. And I know that greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost,
oh, yeah,
a rushing flew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than,
oh, yeah,
any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I've got into, I'm gonna let the whole world know that greater is He that God, Jesus.
Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. For He is holy. Holy.
Enjoy church tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just before we leave tonight, remember service in the morning, but just before we leave tonight, there's a very good personal friend of mine that's here tonight. And he's going to be leaving us in the morning. He's going to the Marines. Hunter Ward. And Hunter, I just want you to know, I've watched you grow up right here at Happy Valley. And I want you to know this, buddy. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to hold you up to the Lord. I look at Brother Adam, Sister Rachel. Their daughter got married last night. She's moved out. Hunter's leaving. He's moving out. We'll probably have to get somebody to move in with you. You're going to be sad. But I just want to let Hunter know that we are going to be praying for you. We love you, buddy. Give him a nice hand tonight. God bless every one of you. Remember service here in the morning at 11 o'clock. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus, I Am Redeemed. Brother Amos, you've done good tonight, buddy. Appreciate you.
I just want to thank you for being a receptive congregation in all your prayers. Amen. Isn't God good?
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. God bless you, dismissed. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. Oh, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my heart.